Welcome to The Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast presented to you by LSG Media. Well, here we are, the finale of Season 3 for Stranger Things. Jessica, it is all over. It's ended. Some characters died. Some characters fake died. There was lots of crying and emotion and intense action.
By, like, me and you, the crying and emotion? Or
No, I didn't cry in this one. And yeah, it was. It wasn't the best episode.
No.
I think last week may have been. But we got a lot to talk about, I think. Kind of. It's a weird one, you know, because it's just so much battling, so much of the plot speculation, all of that stuff. It's funny, I just talked about an episode of Battlestar Galactica, which is essentially an information dump regarding like a bunch of the lore. And I didn't think it was going to be much of a conversation, but it ended up turning into one. But it's weird going into some of these with like, okay, there's no more mystery. There's no more this, there's no more that. I think it's safe to say Hopper's not dead.
Yes, and especially you watching it so late because it's already been talked about that they've already done table reads and David Harbour has been there.
He did say that to me. I didn't even know that.
But there's also, obviously, if you watch past the credits, there's an extra scene at the end.
Right.
And in one moment, as the Russians are walking down the hallway, one of them says to the other, "No, not the American."
So. Prisoner, which means he either took cover. I thought he may have jumped into the Upside Down for a minute there and maybe the next season was going to involve trying to get him out, but I don't know. But yeah, it's what were your thoughts when the credits rolled the first time you watched it and what are they now?
Well, so the first time I watched the episode, I cried a lot.
Yeah.
Like at the Hopper like letter.
Absolutely.
This time I was obviously like more emotionally prepared because I knew it was coming and I also knew that it's already been indicated that he's not actually dead.
Sure.
I still found it to be very emotionally impactful, but I think that's like for personal reasons. It's not show reasons.
Totally.
But it's cheapened a little knowing that it's a fake out. Like that's tough. Like shows, we kind of do this with Elle in season one where we make it seem like maybe she's dead and she's really not. And like,
sure,
you can only do that so many times before it gets a little old.
Right.
And it kind of cheapens the story. To be honest, I think this would have been a great like series finale. I don't know if we need season 4.
I see.
I think Hopper actually being dead.
And the kids moving on
with
their lives.
Moving, yeah, and everybody moving on, kind of doing their own thing with their lives. You know, Eleven moving in with Joyce. Them leaving Hawkins. I think that you could have easily ended the show after this season and it would have been fine.
I think so too.
I think it would have been a pretty fitting ending, that moment of Joyce like looking back in the house and like shutting the door. I think it's a pretty perfect ending to the show, to be honest.
Right.
And I hope season 4 is not garbage. And
you seem concerned.
I am, because I feel like this was a really good ending to the show and I don't know how much more story there is to tell at this point.
Right.
Without getting repetitive, which the show has already done.
Right. And we, in the show's defense, I think we've said that almost every finale.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. But to your point, it always makes me wonder that when you sit down to write a story, you know, you get this really cool idea for this thing and then it's over and then there's pressure to come up with another story again. And that is for people in a multi-million-dollar industry making TVs, shows and movies, let alone a random podcaster who makes sometimes like RPGs. Like you start to feel that like, fuck, now what? Now what? Now what? And like, it makes me wonder, because it's such a perfect ending, they must, and I don't know this for certain, I'm really speculating here, but they must make each season with the indication that it could be the last.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was renewed
before it launched.
It started airing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong.
Yeah. It does beg the question, how does that work in the streaming world? I don't even know. I want to look into that. Like, how is that decided upon? But anyway, to your point, you know, I kind of looked over at you at one point. I said they love their denouements, right?
Yes.
They love their post big conclusion 10 to 12 minute scene thing of wrapping it up. And I think some people hate that. And maybe, you know, the Christmas sweater one ran a little long. I think this one made sense.
I agree.
Because which to your point is when it comes down to like, how do we want to end the show? I think if the show ends and you just have the credits roll after her realizing Hopper's dead with the emergency personnel all floating around. We're like, well, I wonder what ever happened to those kids. Like, you don't, that leaves a bad taste in people's mouth. Like, when a show gets canceled and doesn't end well, like, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to think fondly on it when you go back and think, oh, too bad the show got canceled. Like, kind of what of a bummer. And I think it's something that keeps Firefly from being considered really great. You know, as people go, well, it just sort of ended.
It's something that makes it such a big cult favorite because people wanted more.
Correct.
To the point where they got to do a movie, but that still doesn't really give you the closure of a whole series that you need, you know?
Right, absolutely. And then at the same time, I think people will look back on Stranger Things as a really cool TV show. I don't think they'll herald it as one of the greats.
No.
But I think it is smart to write your show in a way that it could end. And I'm sure there's a way to do it without having the big, pardon my, you know, continued stupid use of the words now, but without having something like that, you could probably end it a little cleaner. But I understand the compulsion to want to do that.
See, to me, like, Dad's Announcement is like perfect for the end of a series.
Totally.
And I just wrote about this on the page. I just rewatched all of 6 Feet Under, and that's the last 12 minutes of 6 Feet Under is essentially a denouement where they're like, here's how every character dies.
Sure.
And it is beautiful and perfect, and it's the greatest 12 minutes of television. It's perfect as far as I'm concerned.
Sure.
And if you just end the show where the family is like, you know, and whatever, the show came on fucking 12 years ago. If you're mad, I'm spoiling it. Get over it.
Fast forward
but,
2 minutes.
The idea of like, okay, the family, you know, one family member has passed, another family member's moving across country, they're all saying goodbye outside of the home, and that's it. You can end it like that, and I feel like people would be like a little dissatisfied, but instead they were like, here's the rest of these characters' lives and like these brief flashes till the moments they die, so you get to see where they all ended up.
Right, and that matters in 6 Feet Under, and in this it matters because I think moving away from your friends, closing doors to old homes is a big part of adolescence.
Correct.
And I think that's why I think it works very well as a series finale, let alone a season finale.
For season finale, it's a bit much.
You think?
A little.
Yeah, yeah, it probably is.
It feels so much like closure every single moment in it, from Will being like, I'm not going to find a new party, to they give Erica the box with the game in it, to even like Steve and Robin going to like get a job. And, you know, the Mike and Elle moment, the Joyce and Elle moments that they're having together.
There's a lot of moments.
It literally is to me like the perfect like end to this show.
Yeah.
And it gives me anxiety going into season 4 that it's going to really make me upset. Because to be honest, after season 2, I was like, I don't know what the fuck they're going to do in season 3.
Sure.
But I was like, I'll take it.
Yeah. I said the same thing after season 1.
Yeah, after season 1, I think this could have just been one season.
Yeah, I remember saying that. And then I also remember saying, I don't know, but I'm sure the writers have something in mind. You know, like, and that's kind of what it comes down to. You know, we got an emailer emailed in. We've gotten a few, but this one was long and well thought out by this gentleman named Spencer. And I want to say, first of all, I do appreciate any feedback you guys shoot over. It's hosts@libertystreetgeek.net. And he decided to take advantage of that and shoot over an email. And he had really well thought out stuff. I'm not going to pull up the email and go through the whole thing. But he did suggest we weren't being super critical of the episode. We weren't being as critical as the episode as the season as he believed it deserved, which is interesting because I think, and he had a lot of well thought out points, and I don't want to refute it and put him on blast or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I just want to say, A, thank you for all the points you made, and B, I think he has some points. Like, you know, we talk about his main gripe was like the realism of the show. But I don't think he, like, you always have to take a grain of salt when people start talking realism and stuff like this, because yes, it would be stupid if Mike just flew, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not realistic to the paradigm of the show, to what we've established in the show. And I think you want to always try to follow the rules of the show. And sure, is the underground installation and the Russian stooges a bit over the top? It is, but I also think because Stranger Things is a love letter to the mid-80s, that I always have that mindset when I'm watching it, and that's why it doesn't really bother me. So just to sort of address his question, because I'm unlikely to write a giant email back to him because I do a podcast, I don't do emails as much. I just want to say thank you for your thoughts, but I think for me personally is it's more about the idea of we're writing in the paradigm of a mid-80s kind of kid show. And that's why it doesn't really bother me too much.
I think that, and now I am the person who is normally getting the emails for being too critical.
Sure, yeah.
So this is a change. I'm going to tell you 100% what the difference is for me. And this is the truth. If we would have podcasted about this when it first aired, I would have been 100% more critical than I am now.
Interesting.
When I watched this originally, I was way more critical of it than now. And in rewatching it, I've enjoyed it way more than I did the first time I watched it.
It's funny you say that because I think Matt feels critical of this season. And he talked about, oh, I got a lot of thoughts about season three. I want to jump in an episode. He never made that happen. But he's a busy guy, so whatever, it's fine. But he did mention, oh, and I just said, well, whatever one you want to jump on, let me know. And I don't know, but I got the feeling that a lot of people who watched it, I feel like it was a very split season. A lot of people really liked it and a lot of people were like, ugh. And I'm glad I'm removed from it. What do you think changed between your first watch and now?
A lot of things. I do think part of it is like being caught up in the moment and everybody watching it and like talking to people about it and hearing other opinions at the same time that you're forming your own.
Sure.
Definitely influences it to a degree.
Sure.
When I first watched this too, I binged it in like 3 days. I think that also plays a part in things sometimes. Watching an episode a week was very different.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
It kind of gives you time to collect your thoughts. I still have a lot of the same complaints I had originally. Like a lot of the way Hopper was handled all season, the way Billy was handled all season that I was like not thrilled about. But I find I found a lot of good in the season that I think originally I was like, this is too much or this is over the top or this is whatever.
Over the top is definitely, over the top is into Spencer and everyone who holds the point of it being a bit over the top. It definitely is.
It is, for sure.
I mean, a giant monster crashing through a fucking mall is... We're starting to... I have the same anxiety about you regarding season four because I don't want it to keep getting bigger and bigger, right? I mean, a Russian prison. I mean, are we going to extradite him? Are we like, what? Like, how big are we going to get? Part of the end of this episode in terms of scale... I'm glad it was addressed via kind of a funny news report, though.
Yes.
But it also begs the question, now what? Now you're going to have, you know, if you don't want to stretch credulity too much, you have to have, you know, the military is going to interview these people. Cops are going to interview these people. People are going to wonder what the fuck is going on. Why has them all been destroyed? Like, you start to reach into a scale that becomes untenable for nice, small storytelling in a Stephen King-ish light kind of...
It's getting too big now.
Too big, correct.
In this season, like, and I'm fine. And yes, like originally I was like, this is too over the top. This is a bit too much. Not a fan. But rewatching, I'm like, no, like I understand like the... I understand just like that, like you say, like that 80s feeling, like, you know, how that kind of is.
Yes.
But there is a lot to it. And like I can suspend, it's all about like suspending your disbelief. Like, you know, when you're an English major, you talk about that shit all the time.
Sure. Especially when it comes to sci-fi or shit like that.
It is so important to be able to do it, but to be able to do it in a way that is like you want people, you have to suspend your disbelief to believe Elle has powers and there's a monster and there's Russians in the bottom of a mall. But you can only push it so far before you're like, okay, this is too much. And they're like borderline, I think.
Yeah. To Spencer's point, he says... that is, at least in those two seasons, it was almost a believable story as far as how ordinary people might react if they were placed in such a weird circumstance. But season three has so many unbelievable moments that it's almost cartoonish. Steve and the kids and the mall stumble into a secret Russian lab. Rather than running out and telling authorities, they try to explore it. And rather than being scared to death, they're still joking and flirting. And how could the Russians have possibly been sophisticated? Blah, blah, blah. But that kind of, that Alexei's supposed to be a smart guy. He's afraid for his life and all he wants to do is drink slushies and play games.
I'll stick up for the Alexei thing though, because I think
the way I took Alexei was just as a guy who was sort of free of the yoke of his communist government, who probably made him do terrible shit, and he just wanted to live his life for
exactly
5 minutes.
Like he's almost like a kid.
Yeah, he wanted to live his life for 5 minutes. I don't mind
like,
that.
Well, I can have fun. Yeah.
But you know, Spencer's not off base.
No, and he's not wrong.
I think for Spencer, it's just a question of taste. It gets you know, and like I said, I do really appreciate it. It's really well thought out. Email that he's written. So thank you very much, dude. And you know, I think he has legitimate gripes, but I don't think it's story breaking for me. I think it's just a question of taste because you know, if you can accept a research lab drilling into, you know, if you can accept a research lab drilling into another dimension, can we also maybe accept a Russian lab underneath a mall in America in the 80s? You know, the Red Fear.
And I'm okay with the fact that the kids are like, hey, let's go research this ourselves, because look what they've all been through. Like, well, look what Lucas and Dustin and Steve have already been through. So they've already seen some pretty fucking crazy, unbelievable shit. So I could see them being like, hey, let's look into it. And Robin and Erica have no idea what the stakes actually are until they're down there. They probably think it's just a fun, like, game almost. Like, I don't think they realize what the stakes are until they're actually in it.
Yeah, based on what we know of the characters of Stranger Things.
Right.
Right. I do, to defend Spencer's point for a minute, I think the idea of these kids getting mixed up with weird monsters and shit like that really plays into, like, the kid thing in this setting. And I do think if you run into military assets underneath a mall, you might call the authorities, because it's not the same as, like, monsters and shit. But still, it is what it is. I don't think it's not, I guess my point is, it's not so unbelievably crazy that I am mentally checked out. But I also understand what it's like to go, this is really unbelievable and mentally checking out, a la the last season of Game of Thrones.
Right.
So I get it. Like, in some people loved the end of Game of Thrones.
Ew, who are those people?
But my point is this. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, like, people have their own tastes about things. And I think Spencer has legitimate points. I just don't mind as much as he does. So thank you very much. I appreciate it, too. I wanted to give you a shout out for the well thought out email. But, you know, it is... You know, I think we should talk about Billy.
Okay.
I know we have to.
Yeah.
He was corrupted in the very first episode, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this. You and I at length discussed the moment he has where Elle is walking through his mind to figure something out. And she comes across these memories. And you were like, this isn't working. We have a one moment where we're really trying to make us realize that this character is a person who's fucked up. And we're not going to do that by just injecting it into you wholesale. You know, it's too little too late. And I think you made good points, and I would agree with that. I think it would have been better spread out across the season. I think you take away the stupid race bullshit and just make him a bad person. Because as we know, any type of, that kind of intolerance is very, it's going to be hard to forgive, right? That's just the way we are. And you know, I've jokingly made the point about how Darth Vader, we loved him at the end, despite the fact that he blew up fucking planets full of people and was responsible for murdering Jedi.
It's because of the way the character was developed to us, which we didn't get from Billy.
Correct.
We literally got nothing but bad from Billy until this one scene. And it's unfortunate because Billy's death scene should be very emotionally impactful. It's beautiful. It's really well done. It's a good moment. And I wish that we had had the backing to make that the emotional moment that it should have been.
I concur. Yep. It's a house of cards, sadly, right? It's not, you pull one, it's like, it's just flimsy.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate.
It looks nice, but it's flimsy.
Looks great. Great moment. Mm-hmm. You get, you know, his goodbye to Max. You get all these things that should be so, so emotionally impactful. And they're just not, because the show did not handle Billy correctly from day one.
Right.
Of this is where his ultimate ending was going to be.
I don't know if this is a fact. I'm speculating again, but I feel like they may have struggled with Billy.
I think they dug a hole and they couldn't get out of it.
Amen. Yep. I think they dug a hole and they were like, what are we going to do now? What's the plan? This guy's a great actor. He's going to move on to other shit. We got to get him out of the show.
What are we going to do? Just make him a dick for a million seasons? Like, Dr. Montgomery doesn't want to do that. He's the one who's like trying to backpedal and say his character's not racist.
And,
like,
and I think if they're going to have four or maybe five seasons, they want Billy to kind of be a distant memory.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they just want to get past Billy, so to speak.
And they give Dr. Montgomery great shit to do this season.
It's true. Yeah. It would have, you know, if this was just a guy who was kind of an asshole because we saw a history of abuse and we take away those type of people comment, I think we have a nice moment where we see kind of a misguided youth who's kind of a dick, but not a homicidal sociopath and not a, you know, not a hateful racist person. I think you can really make an impactful moment for Max. And I think with Max and Elle getting close, it's nice that she has a support system. And now it's Elle's turn to support Max, and Billy makes this nice sacrifice to give Elle, of all people, time to escape. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been cool. You know, I think that's, I think you could have had a really awesome moment.
Right.
But it does kind of fall short. Here's one thing I will give the show credit for, and it's this. I like that, even though at the time, I think to your point, the point of showing Billy's memories was, I think, to use your words, to try to humanize him. I'm glad that it became a plot point versus just that.
Yeah.
Because Elle used the information Correct. To save herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like that. I do like that she pointed out details to him. And as I'm watching it, it sort of dawned on me, and it made me kind of feel bad for Billy and feel bad for the missed opportunity of the Billy character when I went, this is the last time that he was happy.
Yeah.
Like, that's a tragic idea.
Yeah.
Like, the last time he was happy, he was 8.
Yep.
And he has been unhappy since, because if we keep watching, if we go back an episode or two where she's walking through in the mine walk, we see it. He becomes violent. He is beat up. He watches his mother get beat up.
Watches his mother abandon him.
He then perpetuates the violence by beating up kids in school, because that's how he learns how to handle any kind of conflict, is through violence. That's what's done. You know, this happens to young men the world over.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't of any color or culture.
Yeah.
This is what happens a lot of times. It's sad. And it's unfortunate that we couldn't quite get there emotionally for it, because that moment, it dawned on me, and I kind of felt this emotion wash over me, and I went, wow, this is the last time he was happy. Because when she uses that memory to her advantage, it gives him pause, and we see real emotion out of the character. It made me think, wow, he's under, and it snaps him out of it, because that is that memory that's cherished in his head is the last memory he has of happiness or peace or contentment, or not a volatile violence,
mm-hmm.
which is what his life sort of becomes. It's wild. It's unfortunate. It is a missed beat for an otherwise beautiful and cinematic moment.
Yeah, I think the show gave the actor like a lot he could do this season that was great. Like, again, I still think the greatest scene in this entire season is that dinner table scene with him.
Sure. Yes, it's really good.
But while I think they gave the actor a lot to do, I truly, truly think they did a disservice to Billy as a character. I really do. And
yes.
It really bothers me, because, and you will know, I was like, fuck you. Don't make me try to like Billy. I
Correct.
Hate Billy. He's a dick. But you know what? I still wanted them to try and do it.
Right.
And to actually be able to do it. I know Steve Harrington is a completely different character, but they brought a character who is portrayed as such a dick mm-hmm. to be like so beloved.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them to make Billy like this beloved character, but I wanted them to make Billy a human being.
Correct.
And they didn't do that. And I think it was a disservice to the character, and I find it unfortunate.
Right. Right. Cause you have a good actor on your hands, right?
We do. And there was potential again for this to be different and more impactful and just done better.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish they had done that. And I just think it's such a disservice to the character of mm-hmm. Billy, of this is how Billy's going to end, of this is going to be Billy's story. I think they did a disservice by not giving us more of Billy over time, as opposed to giving you one big info dump and then a sad death moment.
Right.
That's all.
Absolutely. And you can take an 80s bully and flip him.
Easy.
It's just hard. It's hard with the race factor. And I think the only way you get out of that is for him to literally have, and I don't know how you even do this from a writing standpoint, but the only way that works is, and it wouldn't work because he was such a villain, but the only way it works is if he literally sits down and talks to Lucas and he apologizes genuinely. You know what I mean? And I just don't
sure.
see how you could do that. But that's the only way, I think.
But I think you can humanize him in a way where he's not like a hero of sorts, but where you're like,
yeah, totally.
Okay. Like,
totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yep.
So I don't know. I just think that they truly, truly, truly did a disservice to a character when there's more that they could have done. And especially like in the moment when, you know, Max approaches him and he's still alive and he says, I'm sorry. This to me, that should be such a fucking meaningful moment. And it's not
mm-hmm.
because I don't believe him, because nothing they've shown me over the course of the show makes me believe that he gives a shit about Max.
Sure.
That's all.
Right.
They didn't do it for me. And I think it's unfortunate. I think the actor got to do a lot of great stuff this season. I liked Evil Billy. He was great.
Yeah, totally.
But they mishandled him.
Yeah.
That's all. And you're not going to convince me otherwise.
In a positive note, Jonathan really bounced back. He's bounced back for 2 episodes. He actually does stuff.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's nice that he wasn't just window dressing.
Yeah, I like him. I like his immediate with Eleven when they're in the mall and she's got the thing in her leg and he immediately is like, okay, I know what I've got to do.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's not even just like, he's like, get a knife and cut her leg open. It's get something for her to bite down on. Get gloves. Run the knife over fire. So it's like he does that in like an instant. And he's also willing to actually do that. Do you know how hard that must be? Like when you're not in a medical field, even if you are on a living human being to do something like that, that's crazy.
Absolutely.
So I support Jonathan in this episode.
Yep, totally. I like when there's a couple of just standout moments that I just thought, this is cool. I liked when Mike advanced on Billy to fight. That's mm-hmm. courageous. You can't fight Billy as a human being.
Let alone a little kid.
He'll fucking beat your face in. You're an adolescent. He's mm-hmm. he's a young man, mm-hmm. you know? And I like how and you see him kind of like get this nerve in his face that he's going to swing at him, and then Billy just smashes him. And I'm like, dude, that's courage. You know, most kids would freeze there.
Yep.
And I like that. That was a cool moment.
We've watched them freeze before Billy.
All the time they freeze. So I think, you know, when you see stuff like that, you really get this moment of like growth and realizing like we are at the end of the rope here with our stakes and I have to do something. And this is a big, strong moment from Mike. And Mike's good this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really, you know, there's a lot of interesting moments in here with Mike. But I think it's very important. You know, Steve and Robin kind of a backseat. They had their moment.
We don't need them in this episode. Like they had their finale kind of already.
Other than T-boning Billy's car. Right?
Which is awesome.
Pretty cool. Yeah, it looked
love
cool.
Love that.
But I think we should probably talk about Dustin.
Okay, because I got a lot of negative stuff to say about the Susie thing.
I do too.
I hate this shit. I don't hate that Susie's real. I don't hate that Susie's super smart.
I don't either.
I can't believe you wasted fucking 6 minutes of my finale on them singing a song together.
Correct.
This when this originally aired, oh my God.
Yes.
Did this get fucking trashed?
It's goofy.
It is so stupid.
It's goofy.
It takes away from this so, so much.
And it's in it, yes, because
everything about his interactions with Susie takes away from this episode.
Yes.
It's awful.
It's too much. Like I don't know if they're trying to alleviate the stress in the middle of the episode.
Don't
I
work.
Think this happens. No, I know. Just let me talk for a minute. I don't know what their plan is. I don't know if this is trying to inject some brevity into pretty intense moments here, but I think I don't mind pigtail glasses, smart Susie. I don't mind Susie busting his balls a little bit, but let's chill. This gets back to something we were talking about with Hopper early, which is we're trying too much with this character.
Yes.
Don't try to make me like this character. Let me come to learn about this character. Don't give me everything up front.
Right.
Right? That's why Robin's a good character.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't lead with her chin. She was just a person. And we learned about her. And she had little quips. And she was cool. And then we learned about her sexuality. And she's a nice and cool and awesome person. And we love Robin. I do. And now we have this person. And it's almost like... it's almost like an emergency update for a piece of software. Like, oh God, quick Liker. Take it all right now. Unpack it and take it.
And it backfires.
I'm like, whoa, fucking chill. I met this character 10 seconds ago and you're going to have her sing literally the entire piece of music? Don't do that. Make him sing a quick verse. And then be done. Like, whatever.
I don't even need that.
I know you don't, but I'm just saying you could have. That would have been... it was really goofy to me. I'm sorry. It's you know, and I know I know we get a callback and you still could do the callback. You know, you could still do the callback of them busting his balls and making and singing that. Now, I did like Max and Lucas singing the song.
Love that moment. That was funny.
It's funny because it's almost making fun of the scene.
Yes. And right? It's at the end and it's a different time and it's, you know.
And it feels more natural because they're like, let's break our friend's balls.
Yeah. And we're getting like Max and Lucas are like back on the same page together with each other, having
correct.
The inside jokes, making fun of Dustin. That's a cute moment.
Yes.
But.
And all the other stuff with Dustin was fine. Him being smart, the radio, doing his stuff, Dustin being Dustin.
I love Dustin the entire episode, yes. With the exception of the Susie thing.
Question.
And, yes.
Are they making him a little too smart?
Maybe.
Maybe just a hair.
No, but not quite smart enough because he does have to call Susie when he doesn't know that math equation.
Fair enough.
But okay, so here's what I like. I like that this entire series we go and people are like, I don't know if Susie's real. It's like this whole thing.
Right.
And I like the reveal that Susie's actually
me
real.
Too.
I think that that's
me
great.
Too. Yep.
I like that he calls her. I like that she's upset. She's like, you haven't talked to me for a week. I'm fine with all of that. I don't need fucking, you know, Susie Poo 27 times. Like, he doesn't have to say that. Say
exactly.
that once and seem embarrassed by it and show like their reactions to it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
have to continue and continue and continue. The scene is so long. The singing is so over the top. I understand that, that Dustin is like a good singer. That kid's like a really great singer.
They wanted to showcase it, I think.
That's
yeah.
great. Yeah. But let's do it in another way. Like it is like so, so bad.
Yeah.
Like it's so bad and so out of place. And especially because it's so cute when he calls and the reveals and Susie is actually like a real person. I think that that's a great little reveal because mm-hmm. I watched this whole show too and I was like, there's no way Susie's real. And then the more characters started to be like, ah, are we sure Susie's real? So I love the reveal that she exists and she is like smart and that she knows the code that they need her for something. I like that.
Sure.
I hate everything else about it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
awful.
Yeah. It's we're really pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
We're really pushing it. And you know, you can trim it. This clocks in at an hour and 17
yeah.
with credits and all that shit too. So give it a break. But
yeah, but the credits are mainly a post-credit sequence. Like,
this is
I
true.
Mean, this is
this
a long is episode.
A denouement plus post-credit. Relax, guys.
This is literally almost the length of a fucking movie.
Right.
This is the same length as like Primer. Like,
but you know, I don't mind that so much. You know, one of the complaints about Game of Thrones was not enough time. I don't yeah. want to bust the show's balls for too much time. For me, it's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
Efficiency of time
Correct.
Is important, right? Use your time wisely. And if you need more, you have more. And if you need less, you have less.
You can cut a solid 5 minutes just from that one scene.
Yeah. The whole song. Jesus Christ. I have expected it to be intercut with scenes from the Neverending Story. It was getting outrageous. It's a moment where I start slinking into my chair. I'm like, oof.
It's embarrassing
yeah,
to watch.
I'm like, oof, I'm slinking into my chair a little bit.
It's super embarrassing to watch.
Right. And I mean, they're not embarrassed. They're cashing checks. But I guess just from a story standpoint, I was like, I don't know, man. This is weird.
Like, I don't know what made them think like, hey, this would be a good idea. Because it's not. It's really garbage.
It's too bad. It doesn't ruin the episode for me. But it is a bit of a knock as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's funny. Maybe we're offering the criticism Spencer wanted finally. But
yeah, I'm going to have much more criticism about this episode than I did about the last couple. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag because there's a lot of good things with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk to me about maybe Joyce and Hopper and how that's going to wrap and the fake death of Hopper and where Joyce is now and all that stuff, her decision to move.
Yeah, wherever you want to go. I'm fine.
I'm fine with it. How do you like Joyce?
I like Joyce.
Me too.
This was a good Joyce episode for me.
Murray continues to be a standout for me. He's a funny guy.
I can't believe too, from like the first time we met Murray to like this episode, like Murray was like really like funny and enjoyable in this. He was good. That's the kind of comedic relief and like brevity you need in an episode like this.
Yeah.
Is like Murray. And then like, he's like, why am like, and it just like, you just pulled it up on the screen when he's like, why is a 4-year-old speaking to me? And Erica's like, I'm 10, you bastard. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is the brevity I want in this episode. I don't need Dustin singing with his girlfriend.
Right.
I need Murray like being funny.
Yep. I also like, and here's a shot of what I would consider within the paradigm of Stranger Things, realistic. Hopper saying, you're not coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fucking adult. You're not coming.
Yep.
Right. That makes sense to me. And despite the kids wanting to go and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. I think this is a good episode for Joyce. I really enjoy Joyce. I enjoy the story arc of kind of where she is, where her life is.
Yeah, it's interesting to think back on it.
Protecting her kid once again. I like her leaving Hawkins. I like the moment of her leaving that house. I think it's something. And
it strikes me as quite realistic.
I agree.
How many times can you let your kid come into danger?
I agree.
Before you move, even though, you know, again, it's very impactful to watch the U-Haul, the moving scene. I moved a lot when I was younger. You know what I mean? I moved away from friends when mm-hmm. I went to Florida. That was hard.
Yeah.
And then I moved away from those friends yet again.
Right.
So like the idea of, it's very visceral watching them pack up that U-Haul and like, they all have this pretense like great new beginnings, but they're all feeling that same feeling. And I know that feeling quite well. And it's funny to watch it and be like, and to think this worked for me because my mom, when we moved, we were staying at my grandparents' house and it started to become volatile. And my mom didn't want me growing up in that, even though I think she knew it would hurt, especially be away from my dad and all that shit. It ended up being the right move for us at the time. But at the, in the moment, you're like, I don't know. You just kind of ride the wave and you feel weird and you feel weird things. But it is the right move. And I know like, and I know that that really works. And I really understand Joyce's motivation to protect herself, to get away from bad memories. Mm-hmm. She hasn't really had a lot of time to get over Bob. And now Hopper's gone. And now her kid has been, her kid's life's been in jeopardy as far as she sees, at least three serious times, let mm-hmm. alone the dozens of other times she hasn't seen. And it makes sense why she would pull her son out of there and go someplace to be safe.
And I also think it makes sense that she takes Eleven with her.
Totally.
That actually made me emotional when you said that. I think that that is the appropriate thing and that that is believable and that's what should happen. And I think that it's like very like lovely.
Totally.
I can't believe like it's actually making me really emotional thinking about it.
I like that you said lovely.
it's just there's something about that that is very like touching to me and like very meaningful.
Do you need a minute?
About that fact. No, it's just really nice and like it's believable and
it is. It matters. Thank God that kid doesn't have a fucking social security number or anything.
No, she
can just fucking disappear out of the system. But you know, it makes me think, what's Max's fate?
Well, she's got shitty parents.
Oh yeah, she does still have parents.
Yeah.
God, she's
really wasn't her dad.
I know that. She has to go back to that house.
Yeah, she's gotta go hang out with them.
What's Max's fate?
Interesting. She's still hanging out with Hawkins, just no Billy to make racist comments about her boyfriend anymore.
No more brother to be mishandled by the omniscient gods that write him. So funny.
Next season starts and like Max is like a bitch all of a sudden. She's like, she's got a tough family life now that Billy's gone. Max
now wears a leather jacket and carries a switchblade this summer.
She's got like, she starts smoking cigarettes. Warning, TVMA, cigarette smoking.
I'm grown up now. I'm 18. I don't care what you guys think.
God.
I don't know if she talks like that in her mind, but she does to me. Elle's powers being missing. Ooh.
We are all over the place in this episode.
Oh, what line did you want to continue on?
Well, because we're like, let's talk about Joyce and Hopper. And then we're like, okay. And then we kind of did. And then we're like, now we've moved on.
I don't know what else to say really about her.
I have something to say about Joyce and Hopper.
Oh, keep going then.
I think the scene where Joyce sits with Hopper and asks him to go out on a date is fantastic.
Yes.
I think it's one of Hopper's best moments in this episode. I think
his quiet reservation is good.
I really, that's like the Hopper. We see so much of Hopper as a caricature and it's really problematic.
Yes.
And in this scene, he is very much not. And I really like that. And I like that Joyce asks him that. I like how she asks him. I like his response. And know what I like? That they didn't fucking kiss or anything.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. Okay. And I know y'all make fun of me because I hate when people kiss at the end of shit, which I do. That's also true. But I like this sweet, like this flirtatious thing, how she talks to him about it, them just like sitting next to each other. A million shows would have them like kiss at some point in this episode. And I think that would have been such a disservice to both characters. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the fact that it's still open-ended, that they never got their moment.
Yeah, totally.
But they had the plan for it.
Yeah.
I think if you
do a series finale, it's going to involve them being together. I would imagine.
Unless it's this and it ends with him dying.
Right, which isn't the case. But yeah, it is a good moment. It's
she is so tiny, huh? She's so big.
Yeah, that shot of them sitting on the stairs, especially since she's wearing like clothes that are supposed to be too big for her. It makes her look even more diminutive, as it were.
Yeah, she's tiny.
I love that Elle watches Miami Vice, by the way.
I love that Hopper.
Makes me very happy.
I love the Hopper immediately, instead of just being like, she's just like saying, hey, how about this thing? We'll do it at 8. And he's like, not like cool. He's like, ooh, well, at 10, Elle watches Miami Vice. I can't stay out late. I like that he's like literally thinking it through in his mind. It's very cute, very sweet. Love this scene. One of my favorite Hopper moments all season, probably.
Yeah.
Definitely my favorite moment between the two of them. I think they did a little bit. The two of them have had some good moments this season, but there's also been a lot of like Hopper kind of being a dick and like, mm-hmm. I don't know. So I like this.
Yeah.
It's good.
And I like how he pushes for clarity, just to be crystal clear.
Yeah.
And she's like, stop talking before I change my mind. But yeah, it's interesting. That pull away shot of their backs and that Russian piece playing, It wouldn't surprise me if that was some sort of from some sad, tragic Russian fucking opera.
Probably.
Because, like, we know that this is a very faded conversation in retrospect, talking about the episode now.
Mm-hmm.
It felt that way at the time. I was like, ooh, this feels a little weird. But I didn't, to be frank, I didn't expect Hopper to die in when he kind of did. I went, whoa. But when I didn't see a body, I got suspicious.
Yeah, immediately.
This is the Game of Thrones thing. If I don't see a body, I'm getting a little suspicious.
Yeah, that was Dean immediately, because I was curious. As obviously, like, I knew that this was coming. And
I said to you, did he jump through?
Yeah.
Because he had no place to go.
This episode is very much, though, like, if you know, like, Hopper's going to die, there's a lot of very, like, swan song moments. And obviously, that conversation with Joyce is one of them.
Totally.
So it's, you know, they kind of, like, project that something like that might be coming a little bit. But... yeah. As soon as there was no body, I know you were, like, immediately suspicious. It's also hard when you kill off, like, literally your most main character. You're like, is this for real on a show like this?
Yeah.
Like, are the stakes that high where we're going to kill off, like, pretty much our main adult?
And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about Winona Ryder while we're still in this neighborhood, because Winona Ryder is a character who has not, is an actress that isn't somebody who finds herself in these scenarios in her characters across her career. So I know it's a stretch for her, like, to be in an action moment, to be, you know, she's, it's not typically what she plays. So it's pretty cool to watch this happen at this stage in her career, to be involved with monsters. And I know she was Mina and Dracula and shit, but that was that's more of a romantic tale.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it is. It's pretty wild to watch her at this stage in her career. I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. I'm just reflecting on it now as I think, what an interesting change to go from. It's funny that as she has gotten older, she's found herself more in an action situation.
Yeah.
She's become a mom, essentially, but she now finds herself in a very maternal role, trying to take care of her family and whatnot, but also finding herself in this crazy, like, action stuff. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the keys. It was cool, you know? It was cool that she got to do that. It was cool that...
in her thought process through it, like, that she's the one who has that moment. And I like that she has that moment by herself. And it's not this shared moment with Hopper. I like totally. That it's Joyce. I also like that Joyce has to sit and make that decision. Like, because she's sitting there knowing if she does this, Hopper is most likely gone.
Right.
And she still has to make that choice. And I appreciate the show, like, giving her that to do.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, we talk a lot about the stakes for all of these characters, and the stake being your life is the ultimate stake. However, being a parent and protecting your child is the biggest stake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see her, for Joyce to be the one to close the gate, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
I like the idea of her being no more, like, leave my family be. I'm going to shut this fucking gate. And Hopper is in that balance of equation now. Her decision becomes easier because he's cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
It does. Again, that's sort of taking the really uber, like, tough choice off the table a little bit. But it's nice to see her make the tough choice. It's nice to see her turn the keys. And it's nice for her to be the one to do it. We in the midst of the action of season three, it's easy to forget about the trauma that Will has endured.
Right.
And that he will continue to endure. And now his friends are gone and everyone's moving away. Like, poor fucking Will, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Fireworks came back.
And love it.
Beautiful. It looked awesome. And yeah, you know what? Are fireworks going to really hurt a giant monster that can destroy malls? I don't know. But it looked cool. I liked that everyone, it had a cinematic quality to it. Just lighting the wicks and the fucking spinning wick. It was like threw it at the monster. It was cool.
And it didn't even seem like it, like, significantly hurt the monster. It almost was like a distraction and an annoyance. Like,
yes, totally.
So it actually didn't, like, it wasn't like where I was like, okay, this giant beast, like, is being, like, killed by fireworks. It was never like that. It was just almost like it was hurting it enough that it couldn't continue doing what it was doing while there was an assault.
It was a distraction, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
This bought them time.
It did. It looked awesome too. And I'm glad. Again, I feel like one thing the Duffer brothers are very good at is having things return that they present earlier in the season.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's awesome that they do that. And yeah, I liked it. I liked that it was a distraction enough to where it bought Elle the time to flip Billy. And yeah, it worked really well. Obviously, Hopper finally got to beat Terminator,
which we love.
cool action moment. I love it. I love the, you know, I love the desperation in that brawl. I mean, it wasn't like the funhouse where we still have an option to escape.
Yeah.
This is a fight to the death now. Mm-hmm. Now one of us walks out of here and one of us doesn't.
Right.
Ironically, neither of them walk out.
Yeah, right.
But it is cool. I like that he finally gets to get that giant 260-pound Russian Terminator off his back, so to speak.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But yeah, good stuff. You know, cool that they closed it. The lingering crack makes me wonder, are we not done with this?
Will we ever be?
It's not totally solidly shut. So it makes me go, ooh, what does this mean? Are we just supposed to believe this is some sort of like tear in the fabric of our fucking space that'll always be there that can get exacerbated by giant, you know, electric equipment? I don't know. I don't know what it means, but we still see a crack. We still see a little bit of a glow behind it, which makes me think we're not done with this yet either. But by and large, there's a lot of good moments. And when Mike got up after getting beat up, you were like, he's definitely concussed.
Well, he was. But being honest.
But yeah, it worked out the way you would imagine it would work out. And there's some good and there's some bad, and there's definitely some missed opportunities, mostly centered around, you know, like you said, this amazing cinematic death of Billy. But anything else you want to tackle here? I feel like...
Well, we want to talk about Eleven and her powers, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you kick that off? What do you think about this?
I like that plot line a lot.
Me too.
And especially, I think if this was a series finale, I like that plot line because I like the idea that now Elle is actually going to be a normal kid. It just being a season finale, knowing there's another season, I like that plot line too because that's a whole different wrench in the plans coming into the next season without having Eleven to be able to protect and do these certain things that she's always been able to do that has been so helpful to them. It really changes the dynamic.
It does. It makes... I'm going to reference Star Trek The Next Generation because I can't help myself. There's an episode, and I don't even know if you've seen it, but there's an episode where Deanna Troi loses her ability to read people's emotions, and she feels utterly useless. And the rest of... And like, if I'm not mistaken, Picard's like, you know, sorry, but you still have a job to do. Like, figure it the fuck out.
Sounds like what he would say.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no, you can't just quit. Now you're like the rest of us, so to speak. And it makes me think, like, how is that going to work with Eleven? I like the idea of her getting a break from being this thing. I like, you know, her whole identity. Eleven's whole identity is based on her oddities mm-hmm. and her powers. So are we going to see a dynamic shift or are we going to see a return of her power? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder. But I do like it. We talked a lot this season about, is she going to get too powerful to the where she can just mind bullet away all the bad guys? Because if that's the case, you got to figure something out. And taking her powers away is the thing. I wonder what that means. I wonder why.
My assumption is it has to do with something with that thing getting inside her.
Sure. And then getting out and then getting destroyed and shot back through the gate, so to speak. Although it isn't. Is the body still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I think that, I assume the body's still there. Mm-hmm. They burned down the mall, so.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I do. It makes me wonder what it's going to be is, you know, on the one hand, you're like, oh, a sense of peace for this kid. That's nice. On the other hand, you go, ooh, this is kind of weird. What a bummer.
Yeah, I think it works in a lot of ways. Like I said, it works in this way of like, okay, Eleven, this is what it's actually like to be a real normal kid because she never has been, mm-hmm. even when she's tried to be.
Right. And she never will be.
No, but this is a different, very, very different dynamic for her. And I think that for a season four, if we're going to have one, which we are, mm-hmm. I like that that is going to be a plot line. So I think there's a lot you can do with something like
Me
that,
too.
Honestly.
Yeah,
so.
The teddy bear moment is good because, I mean, it's not like Mike is so much taller than her. She can reach that. She's not six. She can reach the top of a closet.
Yeah, it was all the way in the back. She would have to get a little stool.
Maybe, but it just goes to show you the utter frustration in having to learn how to do something very, very mundane.
Yeah, that she would have never had to do before.
Right, and that could be a precursor of things to come, of regular challenges that get bigger and bigger with the lack of this power that she's been so accustomed to having.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, all of this stuff, I like the I love you too moment between the two.
It's very cute.
It's very good. It's very well done. I was it's funny. I almost feel like Hopper felt probably, which was ugh in the beginning to like, well, I'm happy for these kids, so to speak. You know, like I've yeah. changed from episode one. I was like, oh, for Christ's sake, all they're going to do is like lovey-dovey eyes for, and but a real maturity came into it.
It is a very sweet moment. I like the fact that Elle makes it clear that she knows what Mike said, mm-hmm. which she's not known to this point. Mm-hmm. Mike gets nervous. And I like that Elle says, I love you too.
Yes.
Not I love you.
Yes.
And I like the fact that Mike doesn't say anything.
Me too.
I just think it's very well written. And it's a nice moment.
And there's a realism to a boy that age freezing.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. He charged Billy.
Right.
Right? He freezes when he's told I love you. That's very realistic to me.
And Elle just turns around, she smiles, she's happy, she's proud of herself, she's glad she said it, and I like it.
Right.
It's a really, really sweet moment.
It is. I agree. And I think it works. I think it works really well. The letter. What do you think of this being cut with Hopper thinking about it?
I like it. Yeah. Honestly, I think that it's fine, personally.
I like the voiceover. I thought, do I need to see Hopper?
Maybe not.
Right.
I didn't really...
Especially if we're going to bring him back post-credit, I almost feel like... It's cooler to just have the voiceover and have it play like a music video where we're showing the kids say goodbye.
Yeah,
that's fair. I'm not saying it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's just, this comes down to, again, artistic choice.
Yeah, well, we didn't have to see Hopper and we probably didn't. I like that Joy sounded, I like that, you know.
Totally.
I like that she asks and she realizes, because he said he talked to them.
Yes.
And then she's like, he never really did.
Yeah, I like her kind of, thinking, you putts,
yeah.
like in that moment.
Like she laughs, kind of.
Right,
yeah.
because mm-hmm. she knows Hopper, and she knows that that's such a Hopper move.
Mm-hmm.
How did it go? He's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
I fucking put the fear of God into that child, if that's what you're talking about.
Right.
And this is very, this is an emotional moment in the show, no question.
Yeah, it really is.
And, yeah.
Yeah, the first time I saw this, I cried a lot.
Sure.
Like, a lot. I think it's very well done, and I think it's a nice speech, and I think it sounds like Hopper. I like that it starts with exactly what him and Joyce talked about, and then he talks about how he feels. And again, this show did a lot of not good stuff with Hopper this season. They really, like, struggled. And
they laid it on a little thick.
They made him too macho, tough guy.
That just made him oafish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's always been a macho tough guy, but he's been a quiet, reserved macho
tough guy.
He's been
human, and he's just almost like just too over the top. But I like this moment. I like her reading the letter, and
she's good.
She's such a good actress.
This kid's good.
Like her reactions are so genuine, and I mean, and I've said this in season one. Like I cannot believe what a good actress she is. Like, and she really, really is good.
Yeah,
I mean, really good.
So who's gonna be banging somebody first, Jonathan or Nancy? Because, hey, real quick, that long distance thing don't work though, does it?
Especially for those two, let's Ooh. Be honest.
Oh God, Mike and Elle are doomed.
No, Mike and Elle are young. They can still do long distance.
All right.
When you're like 13, long distance is like pretty on point, honestly. That's the way it should be.
We certainly know Dustin can do it.
Yeah, Dustin and Susie are great at that long distance
fucking
thing.
Salt
don't
Lake
you worry.
City or some shit. She was in fucking Utah.
Don't you worry about them. Can't wait for the duets to come, let me tell you.
And it's sort of vague as to how far away they are moving. I mean, is it 25 minutes away?
Mm-hmm.
Is it 2 hours away? Is it a day away?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And we don't know exactly where they're going. We get the indications far-ish because they're talking about coming to spend holidays together and stuff.
Sure.
But that's also their kids. Like, it's not easy for them to, like, you can live 2 hours away, and if you're 13, it's not easy for you to go hang out with your friend that lives 2 hours away. If you're 20, it's much easier.
Right.
You know, you can go every weekend.
And I'll tell you, there's something to be, you know, as much as I hate social media, there's something to be said about staying in contact with people far away that you care about. These kids don't have that.
It's very different.
So yeah, it does. It becomes, you know, tying up the phone, getting your parents yelling at you for being on the phone for fucking 2 hours.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I need to order pizza. Hang up. Call them back. That kind of shit.
Oh yeah, I know. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the
90s. Spent a lot of time on the phone.
Oh my God, all the time.
Falling asleep with a phone attached to your head.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember those days. Oh,
and
childhood.
Then, beep, 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 beep. Fucking wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Not even that late, but you know. So yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, the denouement is important for a series finale. I don't know if it's utterly necessary in season three, but there's some stuff I think we do need to see. Like I do like to see Joyce moving on and shutting the door. What do you think about going to Kamchatka, Russia?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't need this.
Me neither.
And I think the only reason they gave us this is because they wanted to give you a hint that Hopper was alive. So next season they could be like, oh yeah, we showed you this one thing.
But here's what I will say. Here's the only thing I like about this versus something like The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead is going to go, oh, he's not dead. Just kidding. We brought him back. But make you wait 4 months to find out.
That's true.
Right? They're saying he's not dead.
And they're also doing it in a way, which I will give them, where they're not like overtly doing it and they're doing whatever. They're like, hey, we're going to just show you this Russian scene so you know the Russians are still doing shit. And then we're going to make one offhanded comment, which, by the way, when we watched this scene, Dean didn't even realize that that happened.
I turned away during the subtitle.
He turned away, didn't read the subtitles, and I had to tell him that. So you know what? There's probably somebody else who watched it and doesn't reach it online and isn't crazy and is going to be like, what the fuck?
And but I did say he's got to be in one of these cells, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, oh, didn't you see what the guy just said?
Right.
So I understand why they did this. I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, totally.
I didn't need it.
Well, it's the whole fake death thing.
I hate the fake death thing, I know. To be honest. I'm really not a fan.
Me neither.
Which is why I wish this was the last season of the show and Hopper was just actually dead. And then then there was no season four. Which sounds horrible because, like, I want there to be a season four and I want to watch it and enjoy it and have a good time because I like these characters and I care about them.
Right.
But this is just such a perfect ending to a show and it just makes me nervous.
Right. Why show us what it appears to be the Demogorgon?
I don't know.
Is it back? Maybe. I mean, are we reducing the scale again? Are we just saying, hey, look, before that gate closed, Russia had a couple of these little monsters they've pulled
maybe.
Out?
Maybe.
Yeah. It is, but it having a monster in Russia and Hopper in Russia, it's getting too big. It's getting too big. Yeah, I'm curious as to what happens next.
Someone linked an article on the page. I can't remember who because my memory's crap. And about like they did an interview with like Joe Keery, and he said like, oh, season four is really good, but it's a lot scarier than the previous seasons.
Interesting.
And then they also said that Joe Keery played heartthrob Steve Harrington. So, you know, I said, yeah. I said, I know. Thank right. you for sharing. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah, totally.
The idea that he's like, oh, it's going to be much scarier, like much more like a horror type vibe.
Obviously, actors are always intent to sell something when it comes to the product. But to use the word much scarier is interesting.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll say. As these kids get older, you can start doing different things with the storytelling.
100%. There's a lot of stuff you can't do when you have 11-year-old kids.
Right.
When you have 16-year-old kids, suddenly you can make Scream.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Scream is about a bunch of kids in fucking high school.
Getting stabbed to death.
Literally. Doing drugs and having sex and drinking and like...
It's about a girl who sees her parents at the front door and can't scream for help. Like, that moment is so shocking in that movie. Drew Barrymore?
Yeah,
I
know.
They can't hear. That's like every person's nightmare. They've all had that nightmare before where you can't do something you want to do. But it does. It starts to become a much different situation.
And I think you've kind of watched it happen a little over time, like as they've gotten older to a degree.
They flirt with a little bit with that dumb lost sister episode, like, ooh, life on the streets.
That.
It's funny that never came back.
That episode, because it was such garbage that the Duffer brothers were probably like, whoopsie.
Maybe just to let us know there's more out there in the world for their spinoffs. But
yeah, I'm not watching that spinoff out of spite because I hate that episode.
But yeah, I don't know. This, like you said, Scream is a good comparison. As they get older, this becomes like, whoa.
Yeah, there's just a big difference between what you can do with a 13-year-old and what you can do with a 16-year-old. And it doesn't sound like it. But
she
it,
said to
it
the
is.
Judge.
No, but it's, yeah. Listen, once someone's 14
said,
in Texas, okay, you can marry them.
Said,
David Koresh told me.
She said, Your Honor. awesome.
Oh, my God.
Well, Jessica, thank you very much for pushing to do this the way we did it. I'm very happy we did it this way. Thank you very much for providing your co-hosting duties. Awesome job as usual.
We'll do our best to do season four on time.
We will do it on time. I think it's safe to say we're going
to
do
it. Safe to say. We should be able to do it on time.
Season four will be done on time. And everything else, like, thank you so much for the comments. Again, if you are here and you're one of those people that were sort of left in the dark as to our coverage, thank you for coming back and sticking with us. That was really poorly communicated, and I take responsibility for that. And that's the most I can say about that, to be frank. But here we are. We did it. Season three is in the books, and we're back. And hopefully people people make their way back to us come season four, because as Jessica just said, our plan is to make sure we cover that in a timely fashion. Yeah. So, Jessica, why don't you tell these good people goodbye?
Goodbye, good people.
Goodbye, good people, and thank you very much for your contribution. And like Jessica said, you can do a lot more with a 16-year-old than a 13-year-old. That is on record, and that's that. Goodbye. Thank you very much for tuning in to another edition of the Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. Don't forget to visit us on the web at LiveryStreetGeek.net. That's LiveryStreetGeek.net.